Welcome to another edition of the Game Sports Podcast. It's David McCaig, the host of the game. We are powered by 91N, that's 91 Network. Here on this edition, it'll be just yours truly for the entirety of the episode, and we will be discussing the NHL Stanley Cup Finals. Oilers face the Panthers. We'll also be discussing the Mavericks face the Celtics in the NBA Finals. And we'll be getting to some baseball news as well. In particular, someone facing 33 years in prison. What? Let's go. Booyah, and it's time for the Game Sports Podcast. It is your host, David McCaig Jr. As you heard right from the introduction, and it's just going to be yours truly for this episode of the game. So without further ado, let's get right into it. And you know exactly where I'm going to be starting off. And yes, that is with the Stanley Cup Finals. You got the Edmonton Oilers. You got the Florida Panthers. Of course, representing the country of Canada, and I say that they represent them very proudly, that is with 22 Canadians on the Edmonton Oilers roster as a team from Canada looking to win the Stanley Cup for the first time in 31 years as they take on the Florida Panthers, looking to win their first cup in franchise history, and of course, making it to back-to-back Stanley Cup Finals. And it all starts on Saturday. That is June the 8th is when it all starts, and that's when puck drops there in Sunrise, Florida. And ultimately, when I look at this series, I see a series that can go either way, and I'm going to dive right into that. And firstly, I must say that kudos to the Edmonton Oilers. Obviously, as you see, and I said at the top, it is just yours truly, Alex, Dane, Justin, the usual contributors could not join yours truly here this evening. And of course, Dane, whom is an Edmonton Oilers fan, if you're an avid follower of the Game Sports Podcast, if you remember back earlier in the season, Dane was very hesitant to come on this podcast as any comments from any Oilers fans could not be had because it was definitely a rough start to the season for the Oilers. Nothing was going right. McDavid wasn't being McDavid. Everything was getting let in. Obviously, it was a panic mode type time for the Oilers fans, but at least, you know, it didn't run all the way to Christmas because you got to think when St. Louis was in last place up until Christmas and they went all the way to win the cup, what a great story that was. Of course, the Oilers didn't, of course, do that all the way up until Christmas time. But of course, when you have the first over dozen or so games where you're having those struggles, and particularly when you lose to the San Jose Sharks, who couldn't buy a win themselves at the beginning of the season, it felt like it was definitely worrisome time. And the Edmonton Oilers moved on from their coach, Knobloch in, Woodcroft out, and it seems like everything changed, the culture changed from there, and it was a positive direction for Coffey's been a great addition behind the bench too there for the Edmonton Oilers. Goaltending has always been a question mark for the entirety of the season there. It's been over. And of course, if you haven't forgotten, Jack Campbell is still under that team's payroll, but of course you got Skinner and Picard, but McDavid picked it up, Draisaitl, the team really came through. And of course, Zach Hyman, look, all of his goals right in the side of the crease. He was getting a lot of goals there. He had a great season. The Bouchard with his bomb from the point. Everything was clicking for the Oilers after, and they were the, if not the best team in the National Hockey League in terms of record after that coaching change, and it altered their season, okay? So to say that the Edmonton Oilers have made the Stanley Cup Finals is absolutely something that I wouldn't have believed after the season started. However, I did say it would be an Oilers-Leafs final before the season started. So I did believe the Oilers can make it, but I thought they got behind the eight ball a little bit too much. But of course, you know, if surprises do happen and teams can turn it around, and the Oilers sure did. Now, the Florida Panthers, they didn't have a bad start, mind you. They've always been, obviously, in the upper threshold of the Eastern Conference. But this was a team that didn't start as hot as everyone thought they were, but then they really reminded everybody that, yeah, we're the Florida Panthers. And just wait for us to get our legs going and hunt down our prey, per se. And they led the entirety of the way in the Eastern Conference this year. They're a very hard team to face. They're well coached. They are a team that is built not just for regular season durability, but playoffs. They are hard on the puck. They are tenacious on that ice with all throughout their lineup, and guys that are clutch, the Carter Verhaeghe's, Sam Bennett's, can't believe I'm complimenting Sam Bennett. Look, I'm a Toronto fan, and he was a pest against the Leafs last year in the second round. But look at Tkachuk, Matt Tkachuk. Unbelievable. Look at Bennett being Bennett against the Rangers. I should even just refer to that. I shouldn't talk about anything for last season, but it's with this year that counts. And Florida did not look back. They obviously lost to Vegas last year in the Stanley Cup final, and they're looking for revenge. They came back this year with a vengeance, and they are back in the Stanley Cup final. But one thing that's different, they didn't touch the trophy. And, of course, the Edmonton Oilers didn't touch the trophy when they won on their side. So I don't know about that curse. Okay, look, it's not the Stanley Cup. You win that trophy, you pick it up. That's my thing. But talking about Florida, this is a team that is so well built. And for the fifth consecutive year, you're seeing Florida representation in terms of the Stanley Cup final. And, you know, there's been some good success there in Florida and the state of Florida with it comes to hockey with the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Florida Panthers. Obviously, Tampa not making it past the first round, having troubles, sort of fair to say, the least, against the Florida Panthers, as the Florida Panthers are Florida's team this season. But you can't take away the success the state of Florida has had when it came to hockey. And now you got Florida, you got Edmonton, different time zones, a lot of mileage to fly. Oof, no wonder why they needed a week break to heal those potential wounds that they've developed in the first three series and then this long series that it's going to feel like with all of that travel. And there's so many storylines when it comes to the Stanley Cup final. And I'm excited for it. I, of course, when you cheer for another team, it's bittersweet to obviously cheer for another team or to look to see if another team's you look forward to see maybe a cup go to Canada or somebody win that you know. It's ultimately going to be a very exciting Stanley Cup final. And this is to no offense to Dallas. Dallas is a very good team. I'm actually, if you look back to the previous edition of the Game Sports podcast where Alex and I were talking, I thought Dallas was going to win in seven. Did say I was rooting for the Oilers, and note that as I talk about this playoff series. But the Edmonton Oilers defeated Dallas, had some good goaltending in that last game to make that happen. And I'm very happy to see that a Canadian team is back in the Stanley Cup Finals and has a chance to end the drought. As you know, the Game Sports podcast is located in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, and I am a Canadian. And I don't remember ever seeing a Canadian team win the Stanley Cup. I was 2 years old when the Montreal Canadiens won the Stanley Cup, okay? I wasn't around with the Oilers dynasty. I wasn't around when Calgary won, and obviously like when Montreal did. All I've seen is Canadian teams make it and lose, okay? I've seen the team that I cheer for lose in the conference final a couple times. Yes, believe it or not, that has happened for the team that I cheer for. And I said to myself before I came on air, I wasn't going to try to talk about any of that. And you know what? I'm not going to talk about any Toronto Maple Leaf news, just so you're aware. On this episode, I'm not going there. I'm sticking to the Stanley Cup Finals and talking about that as its entirety for this episode. Okay, so if you're looking for me to vent about anything about Toronto, you have to wait till the next show. Or if you want me to talk about any other news and rumors, that's not what this episode's going to be about. It's a Stanley Cup preview. So just so you're aware, as you heard from the intro. But Edmonton, Florida. Look, the Edmonton Oilers, when I see that team and I look at this series, I do see that as much as people see this Stanley Cup final as one-sided, I don't see it as one-sided. Do I see a favorite? Absolutely. I will be honest with you. The Florida Panthers are a favorite in the Stanley Cup final, and they should be. Okay, but that's not a bad thing if you're an Oilers fan or if you're the Edmonton Oilers in general. This is a team that has faced adversity throughout this entirety of the playoffs. Obviously not against LA. I really think that when they played LA, it was just a kind of a tune-up. I thought LA was one of the worst teams in the Stanley Cup playoffs next to the Washington Capitals. I thought maybe the Islanders could beat the LA Kings in a seven-game series. The only team that maybe couldn't beat LA is the Washington Capitals, like I mentioned. But as the Oilers went on and they played Vancouver, there was doubts there because of how hot Vancouver was. Despite the goaltending in Vancouver that not being Demko, Shiloff did a very good job. And this is still a Vancouver team that was exhilarating all season for all the fans of the NHL. This was a great story in Vancouver. Okay, who would have thought this quick turnaround would happen the way it did? And it did. But the Edmonton Oilers came on top. You got Dallas, who defeated Vegas, who arguably became a favorite to win the Stanley Cup because of all their people that all of a sudden came off IR to play. But Dallas said, ha, don't care. But they go in the second round against Colorado, another very good team that beat another good team, Winnipeg, who I think is perfectly playoff built. Colorado beat them. Hellebuck wasn't himself, and Colorado took advantage of that. And Dallas beat them. Two very strong teams that the Dallas Stars defeated. Now, the feedback that I'm getting, the text messages I'm getting, well, Dallas wasn't Dallas. Dallas wasn't the team that was against Colorado, that it was against Vegas, and they seemed beat up going against Edmonton. Look, I think Edmonton just slowed down the game, and they exploited Dallas in a different way than those other teams couldn't do it. And that is kind of containing the game. That's what I like to call it. Getting it down to their point when they're in the defensive zone and when they have possession of the puck. Now, the last game of the series, look, I don't got defense for you, Oilers fans. You're just lucky Stuart Skinner decided to wake up that morning and be one of the best goaltenders in the playoffs. And arguably, you look at Ottinger, and people point Ottinger and say that, whoa, that was a brutal game. Really, it wasn't a brutal game by Ottinger. If you look at all the chances the Oilers had, they were high quality scoring opportunities. And Connor McDavid's goal, I gotta tell you, dangle sauce, okay, delicious dangle sauce, top jet, okay, that's all I gotta say about that. That was just absolutely filthy, okay, filthy. Oilers have had to face adversity in the last two rounds, and they did it, but they got a different test here against the Florida Panthers. And I'm going to get to what could be successful in a minute. I'm going to go to the Florida Panthers now. Florida Panthers, I call it a tune-up for their first round as well. And as the Florida Panthers, you know, moved on in the playoffs, they played the Boston Bruins, and that series went six. And the Boston Bruins were without Marchand for a couple of those games, and that series could have went either way, it seemed like. I feel like Boston did contend, but they were the weaker team. Florida was the better team, and the better team won in that series. And I feel like the Florida Panthers just kind of didn't play as themselves on some in both games that they lost, but the games that they won, they were really strong in the game. But Boston was in those for most of those games. I was impressed by Boston. I can't believe I'm saying that. I thought maybe Florida would go there and win it in five. They just looked like unbeatable after that Tampa Bay series. Then you look at the Rangers. The Rangers, after having such an impressive playoff start, Florida said, excuse me, pardon me, okay? Did anyone forget who we are? And I feel like they were in the driver's seat that entirety of the series. They were getting under their skin, okay? And they were just absolutely capitalizing on opportunities. Bobrovsky played well. I thought Shesterkin played very well for the Rangers. I'm so jealous of New York Ranger goaltending all the time. They went from Richter to Lundqvist to Shesterkin. Yeah, they didn't. Obviously, since 94, there hasn't been a cup in the trend of after 94, and in particular with Lundqvist and Shesterkin so far. But hey, this is pretty good drafting in terms and scouting with goaltending. Hey, teams should take note about what the Rangers do. No, maybe look European for goaltending. But again, the Florida Panthers just, I love the way their defense is built. Montour has really came into his own, right? Like when he joined the Florida Panthers, you think of that as like, okay, second pairing, third pairing move. Potential was always there. And he came to Florida and he like evolved from Charmander to Charmeleon, but then took a quick skip to Charizard. Okay. Like I think he is a fantastic defenseman. He can lay the body. He's smart with the puck. He's just completely changed his game. And you know, that guy is going to be getting a payday. Forsley and Ekblad, very strong shutdown pair that can also put the puck in the net with bullets, just like Forsley back there. This Florida Panthers team is tremendously built, and they're hardworking. And a big reason to that is Sioux native Paul Maurice. The way that he is, look at what he coached in Winnipeg. They had a similar style. They got a team that's built almost like Florida. I can't believe I'm comparing Winnipeg to Florida here, but it's tough. They're hard to play against. Good goaltending, strong defensively. Offense is there, but their bread and butter is on the defensive side of the puck to an advantage. Okay, I know when people look at it, well, where are you getting that statistic from? Look at what they had in the league in terms of goals against per game. 2.42 this year, okay? And that stat you can find anywhere. Okay, so look that up defensively, that this team has done its job. Offensively, if you look at goals per game, They didn't even crack the top 10 this year. But they didn't need to because they played the games to win and they buy into a system. That comes from buying into a system, good goaltending, good defense, and a forward core that understands their roles. They score goals when they can. Of course, scoring three goals a game is still decent, okay? But obviously, where you see when the Oilers stand, who were fourth in the NHL this season for that, surprisingly. But to be in the 3.25 where they were hovering Florida is pretty good. I think the goal you'd want to try to reach that 3.4, 3.5 goals per game, kind of where the Oilers were, but they didn't need to because defensively they were so impressive. Okay. But they ended up throughout their series as being the team that felt like they were in the driver's seat for the most part of it. And that is dominance against teams that were strong. Tampa is a good hockey team. No matter how good that they played them, Tampa Bay, any other team in the East outside of the Islanders and Washington, I think would have had a very good chance, if not to beat them. I'm willing to put money down that they would have beat probably Toronto and Boston if Tampa played them in the first round. Yes, I said it. Florida is the team in the East that was always going to win this year. If you look back at earlier in the podcast, I voiced my desire that I was going to be adamant on being what I said from the beginning of the year when I said Oilers-Leafs finals. And I stuck to that. And I actually did believe that Toronto would be Boston. And I said if they did beat Boston, they would be Florida. And if you look at the East, I said Edmonton will be the team to come out of the East. That's what I predicted. However, if you look back to the clips, you got to say it's going to be tough to beat Florida and you cannot bet against Florida. Okay, I'm a man of my word. I stick to my bets. I stick to what I say is going to happen because then it sounds like I've believed in it the entirety of the year. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to confess something to you. I knew anybody who played Florida, okay, it's going to be tough. And they proved that through these rounds. So I've talked about Edmonton and their trail. I've talked about Florida and their trail. Okay, now these two teams meet in the Stanley Cup Finals. I've heard some people tell me that's a David versus Goliath thing. This is going to be a cakewalk for the Panthers. Look. I'm going to say it flat out to you right now that it ain't going to be a cakewalk for the Panthers, okay? It ain't going to be a cakewalk in either direction. I think this is going to be a very exciting series, and I'm going to tell you why, but I'm also going to get down to some stats and then give you my overall prediction. Before I get to my next 2 points before wrapping up the show, look, 16 minutes, I've talked a lot about the Stanley Cup Final, giving you a lot of points with barely taking a breath, but I got to get to the main core of why I think who's going to win, so I'll get to that in a moment. But the Florida Panthers, okay, this is a team that is so strong, but McDavid in Stanley Cup final mode, that's why this won't be a cakewalk. Yeah, it's one player. But there's also one player that was the GOAT that will never have his point records touched and his point totals touched, his goals might be by Alexander Ovechkin. But one player could change the momentum of a game and change it. McDavid literally got a goal against Dallas that was a walkthrough that Drew Hyskinen is still looking for his jockstrap in Edmonton and his stick and his head's all... He had no idea. He set up Hyman for the goal. Look, McDavid can be a difference maker. And you got Draisaitl support, you got Hyman support, you got Nuge, who's been so gross, such a strong penalty killer as well. You've had this team being buying in, and even defensively, Cody Ceci, oh my God, this guy is bought in. Who is this guy? The worst defenseman on the Oilers so far, in my opinion, has been Darnell Nurse, okay? And he's the highest paid. But yes, one player can make a difference in this series. That's why I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk. McDavid in Stanley Cup final mode, I am very excited to see that. Okay? But before I give you to my prediction, before I even get to that, actually, one more thing I want to share. I've seen Tkachuk in Stanley Cup final play in Stanley Cup final mode. I've seen that. And I didn't like that song and dance last year. Vegas went in there and took care of the Florida Panthers. It wasn't the same Panthers team that was there throughout the entire run, that Cinderella run, that Sergei Bobrovsky entered an evolved mode, speaking of evolving to a Charizard. Okay, there he is, being who he was, and he's being fantastic this year, but I feel like it's actually been an all-team effort to get there this year. It wasn't just Bobrovsky. The Oilers, they have faced adversity this playoff. Stuart Skinner is literally been pulled out of games, hasn't played the entire playoffs. They had Pickard at one point, then they went back to Skinner. And obviously it's worked out ever since, but obviously people still have question marks given, well, the hockey world and people being criticism to, or having criticism towards a goalie who hasn't had success. Stanley Cup Finals, a different season now. You've made it there. You're four wins away. You're going to have teams that are going to, they're going to enter a mode that you haven't seen. And I'm most excited to see what McDavid and Draisaitl Stanley Cup playoff mode is, because I think that's going to be a factor. Yeah, it's such a cliche thing to say that McDavid is going to be a difference maker. But you know what? Think about it. If you know your hockey, one player sure doesn't help you win a Stanley Cup. But when you're Connor McDavid, heck, even Leon Draisaitl, oh yeah, it does. And that's been the Oilers' bread and butter. And they've sneakily been a good defensive team. Their penalty kill has been gross this playoffs. You can't count them out. So that's why I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk for Florida. This will be a seven-game series, and it's going to come right down to the wire. Yes, Oilers fans, to make you wait, seven games is going to be anxious, but Florida, this is a team that's so well-built. But let me go through my points before I get to those final 2 points, as I mentioned. And I wanted to make sure that I typed out these points just in case I lost my train of thought. So I'm gonna tell you the key storylines. This is kind of the key storylines, and this is the points that I had down in reference to what I've researched and what I've looked into for analyzing the season series and just looking at the teams that I've already talked about for the last 20 minutes, okay? So the Florida Panthers won the season series both games. They scored 10 goals where the Oilers only scored 4. Now we're in a different season, but obviously Florida was the stronger team in the regular season. McDavid and Draisaitl on the final. Look, I already talked about this. Can they be contained or will they continue? If they continue, it's going to be hard for the Florida Panthers. Canada winning their first cup since 1993 is another storyline. 6 attempts prior, and the Oilers can break that streak of 31 years to bring a cup home on a team that has 22 Canadians on it. And there's also a good number of Canadians on Florida as well. Barkov can be the first Finnish player to captain a Stanley Cup champion. Isn't that amazing? Paul Maurice, friend of the show and Sault Ste. Marie native, has his third chance to win the Stanley Cup. Before the playoffs, the Edmonton Oilers were 4th in the NHL per game for goals. They were 10th in goals against. They were 4th in power play percentage, 5th in PK, 15th in PK percentage, 1st in shots, and 5th in shots against. Okay, so let me repeat that. Before the playoffs, the Oilers were 4th in the NHL in goals per game, 10th in goals against, 4th in power play percentage, and 15th PK, 1st in shots, 5th in shots against. The Florida Panthers were 11th in the NHL for goals per game, 1st in goals against, 8th in power play percentage, 6th in PK, 2nd in shots, and 3rd in shots against. So just like the Oilers, I will list that one more time. The Florida Panthers were 11th in the NHL for goals per game, 1st in goals against, 8th in power play percentage, 6th in PK, 2nd in shots per game, and 3rd in shots against. Those are the tail of the tape. That is the stats. An overall record, 104 points for the Oilers, 110 for the Florida Panthers. 6 points separate the teams in terms of the overall standings. If you want to look at advantages, goaltending advantage, it is the Florida Panthers. D-advantage, it is the Florida Panthers. Offensively, it's neck and neck. But when you got Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl leading the way for you, that offense for the Oilers has done it this year. You have to give it to the Oilers. But the advantage in the three categories that I classify as goalies, D, forward classification, the advantage is the Panthers 2 out of 3. Other storylines. Zach Hyman is 14 goals in this NHL playoffs. He's 5 away from the record. If this series goes 7, heck, even 6 games, he'll break that record. Mark my words. And another storyline, Bobrovsky, a Vezina nominee. If he wins the Stanley Cup, is he a Hall of Fame goaltender? That's if he wins the Stanley Cup. Heck, is he one even without it? But does this cement him more for one if he is? So that's the tail of the tape. That is the storylines, and that is my three classifications with Florida leading 2 out of 3. Look, I'm going to give you my prediction now. I am cheering for the Edmonton Oilers. I am all the way cheering for the Edmonton Oilers. I am going to be supporting one of our analysts here on the game, Dane Hantrum, be watching the games with him. I'm going to try to find an Oilers t-shirt that I know that I have somewhere. And yeah, I'm going to put it on for him. I'm going to try to cheer for this once-in-a-lifetime chance. And maybe I get to watch it with a friend, but We don't get to see a Canadian team all the time. Recently, I guess Montreal was there, so it's not like it's too rare. But obviously, when you have friends who are close, I'm going to be supporting him, and I'm going to be supporting all you Oilers fans out there. If you think that Toronto's not cheering Zach Hyman, I am cheering for the Edmonton Oilers. Okay, and that doesn't make me a fan. I'm just cheering because I want to see a Canadian team win the cup with my own eyes. And yeah, I'll be a little jealous of my friend if the Oilers win. And yeah, I'll be jealous that my team that cheered for didn't do it first. But it does not matter. It does not matter. I am cheering for the Edmonton Oilers. But cheering and predicting to win are two different things. Now, I think Oilers fans are going to unfollow this or disagree. But I am giving the Game 7 victory to the Florida Panthers. Look, I obviously with hosting a show, I'm going with the tail of the tape, looking at stats. And I shouldn't look at stats. I should look at other sides or maybe find a way to save the Oilers. But I got to be realistic with you. The way I see the Florida Panthers built, this team is so good and so strong. And it's nothing against the Oilers. I just got to give the advantage to the Florida Panthers in this series based on the points that I've told you in terms of tail of the tape. When it comes to the defensive side of the puck and goaltending in particular, such a critical point in these playoffs and those depth scoring that I think Florida can really spread out in the lineup, despite the offensive outtake that the Oilers can do, it's going to be a challenge against that great defense and a team that can also still put the puck in the net, not in the top 10 in the league, but still 11th in the NHL when it comes to goals per game. And mainly two out of three out of my classifications over the top, and I am going to go with stats, and I'm going to go with a team that I do watch more than Edmonton because Toronto plays Florida a lot more, and of course, games that we see Florida here in the Eastern time zone more so. I'm giving the edge to Florida, and I think Florida will win this series in seven. That's my prediction, but I am cheering for the Oilers, okay? I'm going to sit there, and I'm going to cheer, and I hope that I'm wrong, and I'm also predicting this because I, as being a Toronto fan, I want to put the curse on the Florida Panthers and see a team win. Maybe that's what I did. But I got to say something. Sioux native Paul Maurice, he's been a host on this show. He's been a guest on the show. Oh, let me rephrase. He has been a guest on the show when he was a coach of the Winnipeg Jets. He took the time. And obviously, it's somebody that I have seen coach Toronto. He's done well at Winnipeg. He's been a part of the Canadian market, and he left the Canadian market to go over to Florida. This is a coach I have so mad respect for, and to being a Sioux native, that is so impressive to make the Cup Finals three times. He's had a great time as a coach. So yeah, I have a little bit of hard feeling cheering against Paul Maurice because I am a Paul Maurice fan, and ultimately because he's a friend of the show. But I'm picking the Florida Panthers to win, given this being a podcast and giving you the information that I need to give you in terms of accuracy in my own opinion. But again, I'm cheering for the Edmonton Oilers, and I'm sorry to Paul Maurice for that. But Panthers in seven. The last things I'll say about the Stanley Cup Finals, I'm 27 minutes in, and I'm going to spend the last 5 minutes going into more of the baseball, basketball world. I want to say that I think, you know, there's been a lot of viewed games. The statistics have been great in terms of viewership with the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I think now all of Canada, it's going to be really heavily watched. I think it's going to be a tremendous series all around. I think the NHL is going to enjoy that a Canadian team is there. And maybe the teams that are also in Canada, other teams, the Winnipeg Jets, the Vancouver Canucks, the Toronto Maple Leafs, maybe outside of Vancouver, you had some great success this year. But those other two teams that I mentioned that didn't make it past the first round, maybe you can see what it looks like, that celebration, that feeling that it is to get to that point and be that close to win the cup. And it's anyone's game when it comes to each game, and they're only four wins away each. One mess up can change an entire series. And we'll see who doesn't mess up and who stands up to take the horns this series and run away with it in terms of players and which team is going to come out hot. Who are you cheering for? Who are you thinking? I said it, and I'll say it again. I'm cheering Oilers, but I predict the Panthers in seven. Oof, I'm going to get some backlash for that one. Last hockey thoughts. Igor Shesterkin apparently is looking for over $10 million in the free agency. When he hits that, looking at about $12 million. That's a lot of money. People think that's insane to pay a goalie. It sounds like it, but let me tell you this right now. He deserves it. That's all I'll say. Joe Pavelski. Hanging up the skates. Oh, that breaks my heart. Look, Captain Captain America, Joel Pavelski. I would have loved to see him do one more time. He could still put the puck in the net and be so effective on that ice. I'm surprised that he did retire. I wonder if he'll do a Zach Parise type thing, if he'll come back at the deadline, and if it's going to be signing with Dallas, or if he's going to sign in Colorado or a team that's a favorite. He's just going to come on back and be a fourth line depth forward and center, but be able to be that sneaky bottom six forward who's going to get you a lot of goals till the end of the year, and then he's going to lead you in a strong playoff run and win. Oh, it would be such a good storyline for Joel Pavelski to have won the cup, but it's not a better storyline than Canada making that cup final. Connor McDavid, I gotta say, but unfortunately Pavelski seems like, and based on the reports and everything that's been presented, will be retiring. Good career to Joel Pavelski. I wish he would come back for one more attempt, and it'd be nice if it was on a team that maybe I'd cheer for to help put them over the edge and change a culture. But now I'm literally kind of just reaching for anything in terms of being a desperate fan for the team that I cheer for. But again, finals this Saturday. See what happens. Leave your predictions below. Let's get to the final points before we wrap up. I wanted to wrap up at 30 minutes. We're at 30 minutes right now, so I'm going to keep this brief. There's a lot of hockey talk here. We like to spread it out, and I did try to allow 10 minutes for these last 2 points, but I'm going to have to cram it in the next 2 to 5 minutes. So let's do it. Basketball finals, Mavs, Celtics. At the time I'm recording this, it is June 6th. At the time of this recording, tip-off has happened just now. And you got the Mavs, you got the Celtics, a team that is just so well-built in Boston with the Celtics. And you got the Mavs, who have had such a great storyline. I thought OKC was going to be the champion this year. But if you look at listen to the recent edition of the game, I did predict this to be the finals. But I'm going to give you my finals prediction here. I think Luka Doncic, and I think the Kyrie Irving, that duo, is going to get it done. They're going to stop Tatum. They're going to stop the Celtics. I just think the road for Dallas, you know, was a little bit more of a challenging road against the teams that they played more than it was for Boston. I think they're more well-groomed. They're ready for this. I think that the Dallas Mavericks will be your champion, the 2024 NBA champion, and I think they'll do it in 6 games. They will do it on home court. Luka Doncic getting your MVP. The kid is sick. He's so wild. Generational special talent. Wild. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Who do you think? Comment below, and let me give you this in terms of feedback, in terms of the road to the finals. In basketball and hockey, baseball, three different sports. Football, 4 different sports. The road to get to the Super Bowl, the World Series, Stanley Cup, the NBA Finals. The hardest trophy to win in sports is the Stanley Cup. Don't care what anybody says, all right? At me below, disagree with me, don't care. But basketball, the road to the finals, I think the harder teams that you face, the more well-groomed you are. The more series that you've had to really grind and really utilize a team chemistry and really look at a game plan in a different way. Boston did have to do that for Indiana in a couple games, but that's my point. I think the Mavericks having OKC looking at the Minnesota Timberwolves. This is a team that is well groomed for this final and be able to handle games if they're down early, be able to handle certain plays, the driving the paint and being disciplined in the game. I think that's where Dallas is really going to step through. Dallas in 6. Now, the baseball news I want to get to. Look, as of today, the Blue Jays did split the series with the Baltimore Orioles. They save face the series. I thought they were going to get absolutely just smacked this entire series, but they bounce back, and that's great to see, a little bit clawing closer to 500. Still lots of games. There's still 100 games to go in the MLB season, and of course, as a Jays fan, it's very challenging to see this team start out the way it did, and I have my criticisms. I still do, but they did save face by splitting the series against the Orioles. But I want to look at the other side when it comes to the National League. The Mets, what the heck? The Mets, the Nationals are better than you this year. Nets, yeah, that's basketball. Mets, my goodness. The Marlins had a little bit of a bounce back. I thought they would continue just to be dog shit the entire year. They're still not good, but they ended up actually being better winning percentages I've last seen them. So the Marlins have a bit of improvement, but again, that's a team that's just a not going well there. That division overall with the Nationals, Mets, Marlins, if I'm the Braves and Phillies, you love being in that division right now, especially with those rosters. And of course, I'm going to lead up with the Los Angeles Dodgers, not because of discussing of where they're first place. I love seeing the Paul Skeens match up against Shohei Ohtani, him striking them out, trading blows on each other. I love it. It is great. Skeens is something special. Connor and I talked about him on the last issue of the game. Check that out. And we even talked about the controversy going on with his girlfriend at that point. Unbelievable. But I want to talk about Shohei Ohtani and the interpreter frauds storyline. I was going to call it the mystery of the century. And the reason why I call it that is because there's no way that Shohei Ohtani didn't know money was getting taken. Look, I don't care what police officer mentions that to me. I don't know if Shohei just doesn't look at his bank account or if he's that rich to give a shit, but there's no way he did not know that money was being taken from him. And respect pleading guilty to fraud. And right now he is facing over 30 years in prison. Okay. He's facing over 30 years in prison. Ippi Matsuhara is facing that much time in prison for fraud. Now, obviously he's a first time offender. Obviously there's been over $10 million stolen. This is a guy that did steal a lot of money, apparently, with Shohei Ohtani not knowing. But this is somebody who is not a repeat offender. He doesn't have a background. He has pled guilty. Okay, this is somebody who I think may not face more than 5 years in prison and may get out early on parole, okay? This is what I think. And if you want to know something else for a conspiracy, heck, I'll say it. I think the Dodgers went, okay, how much do you want? Just plead guilty. Don't let our star player be involved in this because you'll have a lifetime ban from baseball like a few other players recently. But of course, Tapita, who had his, obviously, his lifetime ban because of gambling on baseball. Obviously, Shohei Ohtani wouldn't be able to do that. So you look at it and say, well, where'd all my money go to betting? Well, maybe his interpreter did take money and gamble and did commit fraud. I'm not disagreeing, but there's no way Shohei didn't know. He probably just didn't care because of the money he's making and because of being good friends with him. Or maybe he did care. And I'm not going to sit here and Shohei Ohtani's crowd or even Shohei, if he miraculously listened to this and say, who is this Dave McKay guy saying that and that nonsense? I don't like that guy. I don't want to be not liked. But I want to say there's no way he didn't know. I don't care what police officer tells me that. But you don't think that maybe the Dodgers said, look, you know you did it. Maybe he did do it. Maybe truly he is guilty. I think he is guilty. But I think Shohei Ohtani is slightly guilty in this regard as well. And for him to not be investigated, and they say that they did investigate him, let's hope that the integrity is there and it's true. I can't believe that he's facing 33 years. I get that that's a sentence, but there's no way he gets that. But as I was saying, you don't think the Dodgers went, okay, how much do you want? Is he getting paid under the table to plead guilty? And then when he gets out of prison, he's going to be set up for life. Assets are frozen, everything right now. But when he gets out of prison, you don't think he's going to be set up for life? Is Shohei Ohtani paying him? Or am I just being one of those people just to create a storyline? Look, this is not going to be a clip. So obviously I'm not looking for this for clickbait or creating anything. I'm just saying that I think there's more to the story that people don't know. Maybe I'm far-fetched on what I'm predicting. But how can somebody not know that there's money there, despite what every officer says? How do you think the Dodgers would be if they found out that, where would they be after Shohei if they found out he was a part of the gambling? He wouldn't be able to play baseball. Maybe he wouldn't be banned for a lifetime, but being suspended for the full year after all this spotlight of him signing there this year and expectations? Look, the writing's on the wall, I think, in a certain way that the Dodgers wouldn't want that noise, despite that his ban would maybe only be a suspension. But this is still not what the team would want, is for him to not be in the starting lineup. And they think maybe it's not enough of a crime that he was slightly a part of it, that he takes the fall and they pay him. Look, maybe I've watched too much TV. In summary, 33 years obnoxious, not happening. He will get maybe 5, at most to 10 range. I think he'll be at, if it is 10, he will get out early. But he'll serve probably 5 years. He'll have that parole option. And when he gets out of jail, I'm sure he'll be well taken care of. And maybe it's the Dodgers or maybe his family. I don't know. But I think there's more to the story that people didn't say. And I said that on the last episode, but I'll get into a bit more reaction about it here. I want to know what you think. There's no way Shohei didn't know, though. No way. If he didn't, what the heck are you doing? Keep an eye on your bank. I don't care how rich you are, whoever the heck you are. Only you have access to your bank account. Yes, the only way it should be you, your wife, whatever it is that your setup is. And you should know where your money's going each time. I know us average people that make an average living to put food on the table, got to keep maybe an eye closer on money. When you're sitting there making hundreds of millions of dollars because of ball and sponsorships, you may not give a shit, but you should know where your money's going. You got to pay bills, right? You got to pay bills under yourself, or does everyone just do that for you? Well, I'm guessing everyone just does it for you. Just answered my own question. But you should keep an eye on your bills. There's no way he didn't know money was going or what was going on. I don't believe in that. I think he'll get less time, and I think that the Dodgers are convincing that someone or something paying off or whatever, that Shohei is not as involved, but truly he is. At me, I don't care. I'm sure I'm not the only one thinking that. Maybe I'm one of the only the ones that will say it. I want to interact with anyone that thinks differently. Let me know. Whew. 39 minutes. I am 20 minutes over my expected time that I thought I was going to be. So I'm going to wrap up the show here. I could talk about a lot by myself for 40 minutes. I think that it's unreal. I didn't have my usual show drink. What am I doing? Off my game. But the Game Sports Podcast, obviously our recent edition was with Rod Black. Our episode was uploaded last week. Our previous news edition was before that. As everybody knows, our news edition shows are currently, as we hit the summer months, we're looking at a bi-weekly for news editions, okay? So usually it's supposed to be recorded Sundays and uploaded Monday mornings for your enjoyment, as they are all pre-recorded. But we had to record it on Thursday because we were lining up based on our content. With half our content of this show being NHL playoffs, we wanted to make sure that we reflect uploading right before the playoffs so you have something to listen to before you watch game one of the Cup Finals. And because of the hot takes with basketball finals starting tonight, and of course, well, Shohei's interpreter getting Ippi Mitsuhara getting almost maybe 33 years in prison. I thought that'd be something really good to throw in there and make sure we talk about. But normally, our news editions will be on Sundays, uploaded Mondays. So in between that, I do plan, just working on the producer side of things, to upload our other special edition that we had with Brandon Prust. Yes, that may be uploaded this upcoming week or may not be uploaded until the following week after our news edition. Either way, within the next couple weeks, Brandon Prust's edition will be uploaded, and we are looking forward to that. So keep an eye on everything on 91N. That's the YouTube channel, 91 Network, or wherever you're listening on audio platform, Apple, Spotify, the Game Sports Podcast. And if you did make it up to this point, I'm going to give you a little something. There might be another name change in the future. And nope, not 91N. Maybe this podcast is going to have a new name. We already have some names, but if you made it up to this point in the podcast and you want to share a potential podcast name with me, don't add it below. Send me a message, social media, on Instagram, at the Game Sports Podcast, or TikTok, and maybe let me know what you think about a name. And if you're doing a name, I only want it to be two syllables. There's your little hint. And if we select your name, you may be eligible to win $100 in cash from the game and 91N. Again, this has been the Game Sports Podcast. I am the host of the Game Sports Podcast, David McKeag, powered by 91 Network. It's been great giving you this episode. And yes, hopefully you enjoyed it, just hearing my voice for this entirety of the time. Let me know of what you think of the content below. Don't hesitate to follow all the platforms of where the game is on and what we do. We do a lot of work, and we would love to have your interaction and your likes, your follows, and subscriptions to that, as it keeps us going, and we appreciate it. And we appreciate bringing you great content here on the game. Until our next upload, which, again, may see one later on next week, or we'll see you on the next news edition, and the next news edition will be planned for June the 16th or June the 23rd is when the next one will be planned, and we may plan it around the results of both the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals too. So just keep an eye on that, as going forward, some uploads will be sporadic this month, but once things are back to normal and we're back in the summer months, we will look at doing strictly bi-weekly for the summer on Mondays until we get back to the busy season, which will be weekly on Mondays and Wednesdays. Hope you kept up with that. Again, David McKeag with the game. Thank you for taking the time. I'm here to remind you, keep your stick on the ice, swing your bats, catch your touchdowns, drain your threes, and shoot your shots. Booyah.